All right, we Baruch Hashem still holding, even though it's officially now Motzei Shabbos, but in terms of our learning, we're holding by Erev Shabbos. And all of the shiurim until now have been an Erev Shabbos to prepare for this Erev Shabbos, for this shiur. The basic question that we're holding by, where we're sitting right now, is the fact that we have Kabbalah Shabbos, that there's a concept, there's a reality, there's something in the world that's called Kabbalah Shabbos, to accept Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos. But we don't have a Kabbalah Yontiv, we don't have a Seder of Kabbalah Yontiv. Even though somebody might use such a word, a term, Kabbalah Yontiv, it's not a halachic term, Kabbalah Yontiv, it's just, it means I'm late. That's all. You know, the light's not up in the sukkah, whatever, but it's not, there is no term like that. It's Kabbalah Shabbos, that's all. It's Kabbalah Shabbos. There's no such thing as Kabbalah's tefillin, Kabbalah's tzitzis. There's only Kabbalah Shabbos. Not only that, a Kabbalah Shabbos doesn't only mean to accept Shabbos. In our way of speaking, in the way of Torah, when we say Pnei Shabbos Nakabla, when you are preparing for Kabbalah's Panim, a Kabbalah's Panim, which there's no proper translation in English, it would be like a reception, but that's so silly compared to what Kabbalah's Panim really means. We're going to talk about that tonight. A Kabbalah's Panim, I think they do usually translate an invitation. It'll say in the Hebrew, Kabbalah's Panim, the English say reception begins or something like that. There's an inyan of Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. We're Mekabel Shabbos. We receive, we greet, we invite, we usher in. Ultimately, we can't find in English the term for Kabbalah Shabbos or Kabbalah's Pnei. Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, it's something which is unique and only can be understood by Mekabli HaTorah, by Jews who believe in the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And I want to explain that. But this, what I'm going to talk about now, is very hard to explain. And I know I used that excuse last week, and I'm running out of excuses. But that's okay. That doesn't in any way diminish, chas v'sholom, the importance, the significance of what we're talking about. Other rabbit, it makes it more important. When you look through Chazal, in the Gemaras, in the Midrashim, when you look through Chazal, how Chazal refer to Shabbos, there is something absolutely unique, unprecedented. We don't find it anywhere else. When Chazal speak about Shabbos, they speak about Shabbos like a person. Shabbos has personality. It's like there's a human being, Shabbos. For instance, there are thousands of examples. Just a couple to get a feeling. For instance, Amr Shabbos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos went to cry to Hashem and said, everybody else has a partner, has a ben zug, everybody has, there's a husband, there's a wife, even the animals have. And I don't have the days of creation, right? There's the first, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, time Shabbos, Nabuch, I don't have. Amr Shabbos Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is coming to complain, to cry before Hashem. We don't find that tefillin should say, I have a problem. Tefillin are speaking, or mezuzahs are talking, or shofars are talking. I mean, in children's books, they do that. And it's very sweet. And we have these little stickers. I might have one or two on my back. I don't know. I mean, I hope not, because I go to the mikveh. I hope it's not there anymore. But the kids used to put them all over me, right? With the little, you know, the little eyeballs that move around, right? There's a little shofar, and the shofar is there's a person called Mr. Shofar, right? And there's a Mr. Tefillin, like. But that's for children, and it's sweet. But really, really, there is nothing like that in halacha. You don't have tefillin talking, a shofar's talking. You put on tefillin, you blow the shofar. But Shabbos has what to say. Amr Shabbos of Nekrash Baruch Hu. And it's not the only Chazal where Shabbos is talking. You have Shabbos is now coming. We don't have Tefillin are coming. you have Malava Malka. A Shabbos is a bride. A Shabbos is a queen. Now we're going to walk away from Shabbos. It's not nice. You have to accompany the bride. You have to walk with the Kala. You have to walk with Shabbos Malkasa. You don't just leave Shabbos like this. You have to go with the Shabbos. And of course, Kabbalah Shabbos. Receiving and greeting Shabbos. What is this? We're so used to hearing this since, you know, those who grew up with this, it's so much a part of our vocabulary, like many things that are part of our vocabulary that we grew up with, we never ever stop to think about. What does it mean? And it's uniquely Shabbosdik. Not Yontiv, not any other mitzvah. Where there is an actual mitzvah, like a person. That's called Shabbos. And we have to accept and receive and show proper dignity. And we delight when we have this person, whatever it is, called Shabbos. We have an Oinig Shabbos. And we have Kovod Shabbos. And we prepare and so on for this personality, this Metzias. So who is she? Who is she? And we have to use the Nekeva because we know that it's referred to as a Kala. She is referred to as a Kala throughout. Throughout Chazal, everywhere in Chazal, she is referred to as a Kala. Who is she? And why? Come as, who is she? And why is it that we have this Davka by Shabbos? How come we don't have this anywhere else? So I said earlier, in the earlier shiur, that the shiurim until now are a hachana, a preparation to come to this shiur. So those who didn't hear the earlier ones, it's still okay, but it's certainly be easier to understand having heard the earlier ones. So make believe that you have. The personality, the Kala, is the Shechina herself. Is the divine presence of Hashem. That's the Eishes Chayil that you're singing Friday night. Eishes Chayil, in all due respect to the Sheikh Chayil, you know, you're great. And you're a reflection of the supernal Kala of the bride. A reflection. A wonderful reflection. But still, it's not you. I'm sorry. The Eishes Chayil is not you. I hope someone we'll work this out with you afterwards. It's not me. I'm not going to do it. But it's not you. But certainly, certainly, understand. I'm saying that a little bit with a... I hope you notice that I'm saying that a little bit with a wink in my eye. Because what I mean by that is, certainly, certainly, in this world, the Eishes Chayil that you are, the Neshei Chayil... Come in. Come, Yossi. Eitan, come sit down. That certainly in this world, the closest we can get in this world to the supernal, to the Eishes Chayil, to the Shechina, to the Kala, the closest we can get in this world is to the Neshei Chayil, to Bnei Yisrael, to our wives, our sisters, and our daughters. But really, really, Rabbi Isai, it's the... Come here, Moshe, sit down. I love this guy. I haven't seen him in a long time. It's Moshe. Moshe. Shavuot Tov. It's really the Shechina HaKadosha. It's the Shechina HaKadosha, which we learned last week, we were talking about this, that the Shechina... Shabbos is called Shema Dekutcher Brichu. Shema Dekutcher Brichu, the Zohar says, means that Shabbos is identified with Hashem himself, kivyochol. You remember we were talking about this last week? That Shabbos is Shema Dekutcher Brichu. It's the name of Hashem. When I say Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala, which according to some opinions in Halach, that's when I'm a Kabbal Shabbos. When I say Bo'i Kala, come, I welcome in the bride. I say Bo'i Kala. And we spoke about last week how the Tzaddikim and Tzvas initiated this in Yidav Mamish, going out to bring the Kala. When I say those words Bo'i Kala, I am actually speaking to... This is not some intellectual abstract idea. I am addressing the Shechina HaKadosha, the divine presence of Hashem Yisbarach in this world. And I'm mekabel pnei hashchina, which means that when it comes to any other mitzvah, tefillin, mezuzah, shofar, and sukkah, and lulav, all the good stuff, when it comes to any other mitzvah, the reason that I'm not mekabel the mitzvah, and I don't speak to the mitzvah, and the shofar's not talking to me, and the lulav's not talking to me, it's because every single mitzvah is a commandment to perform a certain act. And as we spoke about last week, as a result of that act, you remember, the indicator light's going to go on. If you do that, you press the right buttons, you do the tefillin kosher, you do what you're supposed to, and then like it's some mysterious way, like lights are going on, ding ding, and you hit the jackpot. It's great. That's when it comes to other mitzvahs. And the mitzvah means that I have this specific act to accomplish, and I do what Hashem told me because I'm His servant. But there's no personality to the tefillin. The tefillin don't talk. I don't greet the tefillin. There's no special inyan of sitting down with the tefillin and having a glass of schnapps, making a l'chaim, which we have Shabbos. There's no inyan like that of oinig tefillin. It's a wonderful mitzvah tefillin. We should sit down. I mean, the problem is there's some yidden to do this. You know, sit down. We should make, you know, like a little suda, a little meal, and put the tefillin on the table, and ask the tefillin if they're happy with what's going on, and if they're satisfied with the little suda that we prepared for them. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There is no Kabbalah's panim. There is no reception, because I'm not receiving anyone. I'm acting as a servant of the Creator who told me to do this thing, put on these straps and boxes, and I'm doing it. And as long as they're kosher, I am a faithful servant, and I'm causing Hashem to have nachas and so on, whatever that means. Shabbos is not like that. Let me read to you a din in Shulchan Aruch regarding the clothing of Shabbos. Big day Shabbos, which is going to be talking, we're going to have a few shiurim just on the clothing of Shabbos. Just on how to dress on Shabbos. Which is not going to be with flowers, any kind of motif, like, you know, shiny flowers, anything like that. Don't worry. But the inyan of Big day Shabbos, dressing for Shabbos. Says in Shulchan Aruch, Yilbash begodav hanoim, that one should wear begodav hanoim, noim. Nun Aleph, fine, good clothing, yeah. The Yismach Bevias Shabbos, and you should rejoice with the arrival of Shabbos. Ki Yoytze Lekras HaMelech, the way that you would dress to go greet the king. Uchi Yoytze Lekras Chosn Zekala, and the way that you would go to a Chasana to be Mekabel the Chosn and Kala, to receive, to welcome the chasna and kala when they come in to the chasna, to the simcha. That's not a Kabbalah. That's not from Kabbalah. That's the din in Shulchan Aruch. That's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Simon Reis Samach Beis Se'iv Gimel in Hilchas Shabbos. What does that mean? And if anybody understands it, you have to be the biggest Am Ha'aretz to walk around on Shabbos afternoon, even when it's 90 degrees, to walk around not dressed properly. And I'll tell you afterwards, when we get to the inyan, a maase from Rabbi Yosha Ber, from Rav Soloveitchik, about this inyan, about Big Day Shabbos. What does that mean? The mashal. In the Svarim we find the following mashal. Let's say, God forbid, the person forgot to prepare the matzahs for the Seder. He was running around, he was kashering, he was this, he was that, he forgot the matzahs. And he's embarrassed, but he has to have matzahs, so what would a Jew do? He would go to a neighbor, to a chaver, and to say, maybe have a couple extra shmur matzahs. I can't believe this had happened, but I left them in the kach, I forgot. I don't have my matzahs. And he would be very humiliated to have to go and ask for matzahs. But, lemaisa, even though it's a busha that he didn't prepare properly. Sof kol sof, he asks his friend. The friend, Mistam, will tell him, Besimcha, here you go, no problem. And he's mekayim the mitzvah, and probably afterwards he's 100% fine. He fulfilled the mitzvah, and he'll work it out with his friend afterwards. It's no problem. Except for the moment of busha when he had to tell his friend that he forgot the matzahs. Nobody else is being embarrassed. Nobody else is being hurt. Nobody else is being humiliated. Only himself. It's embarrassing, but that's it. No one else is affected. Only himself. That's it. Masha'ena kain. That's Aleph. Now, Masha'ena kain. This, however, would not be the case in a situation where you knew in advance and you were told 6 days or 6 months in advance that a very, very choshev guest is coming. Let's talk simple. A very, very important guest was arriving. A choshev guest was coming. And this was not a surprise visit. This was well planned out. It was known long in advance. Could you imagine if the guest would arrive and there's mamish nothing ready, not the bedroom, not food, and you stand there and you're making apologies and you're saying, I was just on my way to the grocery. I just called up and they have the kugel, they have everything ready. And I know there's no linen on the bed. I spoke to the people at the laundromat, you know, I'm getting, everything's coming together. Right? So you know if you do that, even though now you show that you're very sincere and you're running to all the stores to put everything together, what an unbelievable bizoyan. What kind of a guest, what does that guest think he or she is worth? If you knew about this 6 days before, if you knew about this 6 months, 6 years, 60 years before, and what? And now you're starting to run to look for this and to look for that, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I didn't get around to it, I didn't have a chance. When a Jew prepares for Shabbos, you're preparing not for a mitzvah. HaMitzvah, preparing means, the tzaddikim or Isaac a lot in preparing for mitzvahs, but it meant with the kavonis and kabbalah zachin, it means whatever they were doing. But preparing for Shabbos is something else. Because when you're preparing for Shabbos, that means that the kala b'chvoid of atzma, the bride in all of her beauty and all of her splendor and all of her glory, the kala b'chvoid of atzma, the kala herself, is arriving in your house. If you don't have the tea ready, here, Rabbi Klein, come in. If you don't have the tea ready, and if the blech was not prepared, and if the food was not done, and if you didn't get the best cake from the bakery or whatever, your cake didn't come out, that's not that. That's a bizoyin. That there's a problem in the oinig Shabbos, that you don't have the right cake, you don't have the right tea. That's not the point. That it could have been better cake, it could have been better tea. That's not the point. The point in that chisorin, in that mistake, the point was that the kala, it's not that the kala cares whether her tea was warm. It's not that kala's upset because, don't you know that I like 7-layer cake and I don't care for a chocolate Danish, I prefer 7-layer cake. That's not the pshat. That's not what's happening if you don't prepare for Shabbos. What's wrong if you don't prepare for Shabbos is that it's a personal affront. It's that you have the most beautiful, the most wonderful kala. She's your kala. She's your kala. It's the Shechina HaKadosh Shema de Kutshebrichu Mamish, the Zoya says. Shema de Kutshebrichu means Hashem Yisbarach himself and clothed in the wedding gown of the Shechinta Tator of the Shechina in this world of the Kala, which the Oisius HaKol, that we were talking about last night. Everything. That's the kala. Hakol is the Asiyas kala. Therefore, if you didn't manage to clean your suit, and there were people listening, there were people that couldn't afford to have things cleaned all the time, a dry clean. And in the old days, my father told me how they used to hack over there by the water and doing all kinds of crazy things to clean a garment. And there were Jews who only had one lavush. They didn't even have a Shabbos to give a garment, but they would turn it this way and that way and put this up, put that. But they would stand there before Shabbos. My father told me he remembers seeing in concentration camp that when it would come Friday and concentrate, that they would sit there. What do they have, those disgusting rigs? After something they would do. To try something before Shabbos came in. To clean it. To lick off something. If they had any saliva left. If you don't make an effort to clean the jacket, the dress, the shoes, it means that you're going to the kala with dirty clothing. And what? And could you imagine what elbon that is? What a humiliation! What an embarrassment! The kala is the most beautiful kala that ever existed. The kala is dressed mamish in the wedding gown, in the most beautiful way. There's only one conclusion that the kala would reach, and even if she's a very, very put together kala, and she's a person that thinks. The conclusion that the kala would have to reach, and you would say, come on, it's not true, it's not true, and we've all said this stuff, you know. But the conclusion the kala would reach is, my chassan doesn't love me. But I love you, I love you. I picked you up at the train the other day. I get you presents, I love you. The kala, I mean, you knew what time the chassana was. You knew. And you had months and months, or whatever it was, days and days, hours and hours. You had time to get ready. I'm decked out. I'm coming with mamish as a kala and no chsuda. The kala would be right. She would be right. And you could give all the excuses in the world. You could fix it. Maybe over the course of like the next 80 or 90 years, maybe. The koishi. But the kala knows that even though men in general don't understand much, but by the chasana, the kala would have a legitimate taina that felt that there's something is missing in the ahava. Something is missing in how much he loves me or thinks about me. Something is missing. Let me explain. It's not a simple inyan. I'm trying to say it in a simple way, but it's not a simple inyan. Let me explain more. There's a taz. Taz to resolve is halacha. There's a taz in Archaim Kuf Chaf Hei. The Rama Paskins over there, the Rama writes there la halacha, that when a person is saying Kedusha, especially when you're saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh by Kedusha, so the Rama says that one should lift his eyes up symbolically towards the heavens, even though of course Hashem is everywhere, but one should lift his eyes up, which is one of the reasons we also get on, we stand up, right? There are different reasons for that, but one of the reasons we lift ourselves up, and one should turn his eyes, so to speak, or symbolically to lift one's head up. The Rama says this in halacha. The taz on that halacha brings down from the Sefer Hecholos, which is from the Kadmainim. The Taz brings the following. Listen. Im Taimru v'sagidu levonai, it's brought down in the Hecholos, that Hashem says, if you would go and tell my children, Ma shani oise b'shoshim akdishim v'aymim kadosh kadosh kadosh. Hashem says, I'm asking you, go tell my children what I do when they're saying those words, kadosh kadosh kadosh, when they're saying kedusha. Go tell my children, Hashem says, what I do when they're saying the words in kedusha. Ki ein li hana ba'olam. Go tell them that there is nothing I enjoy more in the world. And Hashem can have everything. Ki ein li hana ba'olam kaisa shah sheineim nesuas beinai veinai beineihem. There is no greater pleasure, delight, and joy, Hashem says, for me. The Shekhinah says, the Kala says, there is no greater pleasure, joy, or delight for me in this world as those, that moment when what? When my children look up with their eyes. This is brought down by the Taz as the source, what the Ramah is saying, that when you say Kedusha, you should look towards Shemayim. You should turn your eyes to heaven. There is no greater joy, the Kala says, Hashem says, tell my children, tell them, that as when what? When their eyes are facing my eyes, and I turn my eyes to look into their eyes. Hashem says, there's no greater pleasure or delight than when they look into my eyes, when they say Kaddish, Kaddish, and they turn to me, and I look into their eyes. Hashem says, at that moment, I hold on, I grab hold of the throne of my glory, which of course has the image of Yaakov Avinu's face on the throne of Hashem's glory, whatever that means. There's Yaakov Avinu's image is on Hashem's throne. So Hashem says, I take hold of that image, of that Dmus of Yaakov, umechabkoi, listen, umenashkoi, I hug and kiss the Yaakov Avinu on my throne, which means every Jew, that's what it means. It means every Jew I hug and kiss. Mechabko umenashko, chosnakala, mechabko umenashko, umemaher gulosam, and I bring them nearer and closer, and I hurry to bring them redemption, Mashiach ben David. That's what it says in Hecholus. It's brought down by the Taz in Shulchan Aruch. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the Taz. Einehem be'einai. That's what the Taz is bringing from the Hecholus. Their eyes are looking into my eyes, and I'm looking into their eyes. Let's understand what that means. Because it seems to us like something we have, it's far from us. It's not. It says in Pirkei Avos, in the third parak, you're all familiar, I hope, with this Mishnah, that man is beloved, man is precious, because he was created in God's image. And then the Mishnah goes on, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shnukubonim L'makam, the Jewish people are even more precious, because they're called Hashem's children. Mechibi Yisera, there's even a higher level of affection and love. Neidas lehem, because they were told. It was told to them. Shinikubon al-Makam, that they're my children. It was told to them. Oh, there's some seats in here. You can come in. Come in. It's all right. That's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. Oh, you could sit off. Go on this, by the stairs. You could. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Let's learn the Rambam. What does the Rambam say in the Pirshu Mishnayis? The Rambam says this. Shechibi Yisera Hera Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Ezeh Shahidiyai. That Hashem shows a special extra, an extra measure of love for the Jewish people, for each Jew. The Rambam says, Bezeh Shahidiyo. By saying, by telling us, because Hashem didn't just create the Jewish people in His image. He told us, and He tells us, that you're special to me. That I created you in my image, the Rambam says. You see, the Rambam says, if you do a favor for a friend, and you tell the friend, I did this for you. I want you to know that I did this for you. Not because you're trying to show off. It's not because of that. Because a friend would have found that anyway. That's not the point you want to take credit. I did this for you. The Rambam says, when you tell the friend, I did this for you, When you do that and you tell him, then the Ram says, when you tell the person, I did this for you, you're excited. You're excited to tell the person, I did this for you. That the person should know. You leave a little note, I did this for you. So the Rambam says that's so much greater. And the person is obviously so much more important to you. Choshev be'enav. That person is so much more important, more precious in your eyes, than if you wouldn't tell him and wouldn't let him know and wouldn't put in a little note, a little poem. What's the pshat in the Rambam? Adkan. That's the Rambam in Perushim Shnayis. And what's the Rambam saying? When you love someone and you want to do something nice, you want to do something nice for the one that you love because of your love, the only time that it's really, really, that it will really bring to a state of attachment between the two is when the person knows that it's you, and in addition to that, you tell the person, which means, I want you, the reason that I'm giving you this gift is because I want you to know how much I love you. And the purpose of that is, because I'm telling you that, I am hoping, the person doesn't say this, but I am hoping that by my giving this to you, but more than that, by telling you that I'm giving this to you, that you should know that I'm giving it to you because I love you, that is going to be ma'irer, that is going to awaken in the other person, it's iris, an awakening, that person will feel a stronger love to you, will love you more in return. This is the pshat in the Rambam. Chiba yaseira neidas lohem. That Hashem's love for the Jewish people, for every Jew, is so amazing that He tells us how much He loves us. That's what the Rambam is saying. Not that just Hashem loves every Jew, but Hashem wants every Jew to know, and He wants every Jew to be told, Bishmoy in His name, that Hashem says, I love you. And the purpose of that, the Rambam says, is that when a person understands that and realizes it, that Hashem is looking for your eyes to look back into His eyes so that you will look back into His eyes. Einehem be'einai. So the Rambam is saying that this brings to a state of dveikus, which is the purpose in our serving Hashem. Let me explain. I sometimes have a terrible thought, and I hope none of you have ever had this, and it's pretty morbid, but I sometimes have this thought, that if Chas V'Sholom I would die, that my little one, my Shifi, would not even remember all the kisses and hugs. She wouldn't even remember. She's a little kid, 4 years old, whatever, something in Swansea. And maybe they would tell, there was this guy, and they'd show him a picture. There was this guy, he really, really, he used to throw you up in the air, he used to give you a bath once in a while. He used to take you places. He used to send his lap, his mirrors, and so on. And I think about that, because there's such a dveikus now between us. But if Chas V'Sholom, I would leave the world, Chalila, before my time, so then the child wouldn't even know. You could tell Maisim, but it's not the same thing. You could tell Maisim all the time, but it's not the same thing. Because they say Maisim about the grandparents that I never met. I never met my grandparents, but I've heard lots of Maisim about them. Do I love them, my grandparents? How could I love them? I only love the way my parents love them. I love the stories about my grandparents that I've heard from my parents, but I can't say that I love my grandparents. I never met them. I don't know who they are. The Kaishi, my parents have a picture, you know. My mother doesn't even have. My father has a picture. So, this is a terrible thought. Because dveikus means when two love each other and they're able to share the love with each other. That's what dveikus means. Dveikus means attachment, cleaving to somebody, means to be like one. It's not just that I'm in love with someone, but it means that the other one loves me in return. There are terrible, sad, and tragic situations where you have a one-sided love, where there's somebody who loves someone else, and it's not returned. So by people who are not normal, they start stalking and doing crazy things. And, you know, it could get crazy. There was a friend of mine, you know, he should be well. There was a friend of mine who used to, you know, he didn't get arrested, but the girl's parents almost, like, they were going to do it. You know, we had to get the Rav to intercede. It was a whole thing. He used to schlep me along with the Shabbos. He used to always make our coffers by the house. Oh, yes, it was a whole meiser. So he used to make, no matter where we were going, whether I went to Brooklyn, whether I went to Staten Island, wherever we went, somehow we always ended up on her block, passing that, you know. And I said, why are we going here? This is totally out of the way. No, I had to pick up this. I have to buy. I said, no, you're crazy. You're going to get in trouble. This was a meiser, Shaya. And you know something, even though you're saying, don't do this, it's wrong, but inside of you, you feel it's sad. It really is sad. Because it's love that's not being returned. And that's probably one of the saddest things in the world. People suffer from that every minute. There are people who are suffering from that. From love that's not returned. In marriages, there are people who are suffering from that. There's one that wants to, that I want to love you, I want to tell you how much I love you. And they don't feel that it's being, that they don't feel that there is a dveikus. I don't feel that love coming back from you. How sad it is. There are so many people you have, either the chasna or kala is in love, one of the two is in love, and the other one doesn't seem to be, or is not able to express it for some reason. So then you might say that they love each other. You could say that. And you send, you know, they get an anniversary thing and they love each other, but dveikus is not dveikus. Dveikus, to be like one, to be attached, to become one, Raza Decha, the mystery of oneness, you can't have like that. That's not dveikus. Nah, you could say they're fond, they love each other, nice, they take care of each other, for sure. But dveikus, that it should be an attachment? That's only when there's a hisairus of ahava, an awakening of love, by both of them. Einehem be'einai. It's when the two eyes meet. Well, four, right? When the two sets of eyes, that looks silly. But when the two sets of eyes actually meet each other, einehem be'einai, is when there's dveikus. That's when there's dveikus. Chiba yisayir neidaz, it's when you tell the other person, I want you to know I'm giving this to you because I love you. And when that happens, the other person feels, this awakens the ahav in the other person, because when that person gives you the gift and says, I love you, or with a little note, or might even be too shy to say the words, I love you, but that's what it means, I love you. All they want, all they're chalishing for, is that you should look up and acknowledge that love, and to say something, or to do something if it's hard for you, to indicate, I also love you. So when it says in the Mishnah, Chibi is saying, this is what the Rambam is saying. You know how much I love you? I tell you that I love you. It's not a mystery. Hashem says, I'm telling you that I love you. That's why I once explained in a Shia that before we say Kriya Shema, we say Ahavas Olam. Or Ahavah Rabbah, whatever the Nusach. But you say, what's the Nusach? What's Ahavas? Listen to the words. Before you can say a Kriya Shema, you have to first hear Hashem telling you, Ahavas Oilam Ahavtona Hashem, you love us. You love me in the deepest way. Only when you believe that Hashem loves you and He's telling you that and looking into your eyes, then you could say Kriya Shema, which is what? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, you know, I love you too. Then you could turn back and say, Hashem Shabbat, I love you too. Until it comes through Kriya Shema, till you come finally to Shemin Esrei, where the two are no longer separate. Hashem Svosai Tiftach. And when you come to Kodesh, 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 Kedusha, then, as we learned in the Taz, we learned in the Ramah, Noisnim Einehem Be'einai Ve'einai Be'einehem. Then there's a meeting of the eyes. And it's the Dveikus of the Chosn and Kala. It means that the Chosn and Kala are now one. I love you, you love me, and they know that they love each other, and there's this Eirus of Ahav and Dveikus, as it says in Shir Hashirim, Einayich Yonim. You have eyes like a dove, which Chazal tell us means that from the time that they meet, they never take their eyes off each other. They never look elsewhere. They're not looking for anything else. Einayich Yonim. That's why, by the way, Kedusha, Kodesh, 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 Hakel HaKodesh is right next to the bracha of Choinein HaDas. Why? Which means Das, understanding. Because since Chiba Yisair Nodas Lahem, when I understand how Hashem loves me, then He understands how much I love Him. That's why the eyes meet each other. So right by Kodesh, Kodesh, right by Hakel HaKodesh is the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Choinein HaDas. That you gave me understanding, meaning that you let me understand, you teach me to hear you telling me to understand how much you love me. That's Shabbos. Matana Tov, Hashem says, I have a precious gift. If you don't know this part already, you know, it's becoming already, you're becoming sick of it, I'm sorry. But that's okay, that's okay, you'll remember that. Matana Tov, Hashem says, I have a special precious gift. And he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech v'hodiyam, go and tell them about my gift. It doesn't say that by any other mitzvah. It doesn't say by tefillin, I have tefillin, tell them. I have tzitzis, tell them. I have this, tell them. Pesach, tell them. It says only by Shabbos. Matana Tov v'yeshli, I have a special precious gift in my treasury. And I'm giving it to Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And Hashem Yisbarach tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech v'hodiyam, go and tell them about this gift. Every single week. So during the 6 days of the week, you don't feel it. During the 6 days of the week, it's hard to remember, and there's so many things that seem to contradict it. When it comes to Shabbos, which is the day of Dveikus, the day of the Chasna, the day of the Chuppah, the Chasna and Kala, the Shechina now appears as a person. Boi Kala, Boi Kala, Boi Shabbos Malkisa, Eishas Chayil Miyimtza, the Eishas Chayil. And we speak of the Shechina as a person, which we don't do by any other mitzvah, that there's somebody here. And therefore, this is all for the purpose of awakening, of arousing our love for the Kala, for Hashem. And that's the side, that's the deeper meaning of Oynik Shabbos, of the delight of Shabbos, of getting ready for Shabbos, about whatever the shoes are that I have or that I can afford, or whatever suit I could afford. Whatever it is. But it should be clean, it should be nice, it should be Shabbos-dik, it should be special if you could afford it. A special machal, a special food. Of Oztis Anig Bashem, it's not because Hashem has a preference for this food over, like Hashem cares more about cholent than pastrami, although we try to have both on Shabbos. It's not that Hashem cares more, like, you know, cholent is choshev and pastrami. That's not the point about what food God likes more. It's the chshivas, and we have a tradition in different communities by the Tain. I don't get that either. Honestly, I don't get it. Like, the frumer that we become, like, at the start we were talking about this last night or something. Here is reason, Makdimon. To come to shul on time, no. You understand? You can't get this guy out of bed. But cholent, he's makpid Thursday, he has to have already cholent. Zrizen Makdimon, he has to have cholent. I mean, the whole thing is a modern thing. Maybe there's something like that. I never saw in this farm Thursday to have chant. I don't know. I asked my father. He said, never saw in Europe such a thing to have chant on a Thursday. They used to have in the bakery in town. They had the pots. They used to run on Shabbos morning back, from the bakery in town. There was no such thing. I don't believe so. And if they have, I know when I was a kid in Yerushalayim, they have in different yeshivas, different places. There's a place for people to go, for poor people to go eat, people that don't have what to eat. For sure they should go on Friday night to eat. But this is not the situation, thank God, with most of the fellows here, that they have to already have a hakdama. Not that this is an aveir, you understand. There's not an aveir, chasen. They should all be healthy and well and enjoy the chol. But what's the inyan on Friday? What's the inyan Erev Shabbos? Because the kala, the bride, who is arriving in the form of that kala, in the form of Shabbos Kodesh, it could be that the chassan, let's say like this, let me give you this. The chassan made fantastic hachanis. He's a good chassan. What does that mean? It means he was very involved in all the preparations. You have these kalas that they want the chassan to also come, like to meet the photographer. And the chassan has to come to meet the florist, and he's got to talk to he's got to be there when they talk about the color of the tablecloth, and the chassan's got to say, purple's nice. Right? Thank God my wife, Baruch Hashem, not once. And even through all the years of being married, I never saw, ask her, if you don't believe me, one piece of furniture. She gets upset because I don't even know when it's in the house. Bechlal, not to go shopping and to see, do you like my outfit? Beautiful. But not, I never went once to the store to go shopping for this, to look at this. An Irish guy. Bam, this is an Irish guy. You could be the best chassan in the world. You could be the best chassan in the world, and you could say, like this, you know, you come after the chuppah, you go to the yichid room, and the kala is upset, she's not looking at you. And you say, what's going on? What's the matter, you upset? She says, I don't want to talk to you. Imagine the yichid room. And he says, why not? What's going on? What's happened? Didn't I go with you to the caterer 4 months ago? Didn't I call up when you told me to about the flowers? Didn't I go that time when we had to pick out the bedroom set? Don't you remember? I stood with you online for an hour and a half to talk to the salesperson about this table and that table. I'm a good chassan. So the kala would say, listen, my chassan, I want to tell you something. It was gewaldig. You were terrific. You were terrific, and the furniture store was wonderful. And you were great by the florist. You were very nice. And with Allah hachunas. But under the chuppah, you know what? You didn't even look at me once in the eyes. Kama aluva. How humiliated is such a kala? How humiliated is a kala? And not because of shyness. The haintaka, they're not shy. It's not shyness. I'm not talking about a chassidish couple here. Not to look in the eyes of the kala? Aluva kala, aluva kala zu. How embarrassed this kala is. Not because of what the people think. Herself. Because if you would love me, then it would be a nehem be'enai. A necha be'enai. Your eyes would have met my eyes, even if it would have been for a second. And even if nobody would have understood. Except us. Einayich be'enai. This is the Inyan, Rabbi Yisai, of Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, the face of Shabbos. Shabbos has a face. It's not by any other mitzvah. There's no Pnei Yontiv Nekabla. There's no Pnei Tefillin, Pnei Tzitzis. There's nothing. There's only Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, the face of the Kala, the face of Shabbos. And therefore it means that if somebody does not go to the effort of thinking, of being mechabed Shabbos with the right clothing, of being careful of how you speak on Shabbos, what you do on Shabbos, it means that there's a hesech hadas. It means being under the chuppah. Can you imagine if you're under the chuppah? Just imagine. It's getting worse now. That the kala is there. Imagine the Kala's there, and the Chosin's got an old girlfriend in the audience. And the Kala's standing there, and she's looking to see the Chosin the whole time. And the rabbis are babbling away, and she's looking to see the Chosin. She's looking for the Chosin, right? And she looks at the Chosin, and the Chosin's going like this. He's waving to, he's got over here. This is Baila Hashpinson and Sarachaya and Amlal. And he's waving to all of the old girls. Could you imagine Kamaluvik? Kalta do? What kind of a bizarre for a Kala? It's a bizarre. It's you can't even measure such a thing. When a Chosna is Mesiach Das, he doesn't have his mind on the Kala, and he's looking elsewhere. And he's playing the ire of Chas V'Shalom. He turns away from the Kala. By everything else in the world, he gives a big Kabbalah's pun. Right? If it comes to a ball game, don't talk to me, I'm busy now. You can't talk to me. But don't, no, not now. But there's a child that's not feeling well. I told you, don't talk to me. Right? This is so important right now, the ball game. Or in the middle of a business deal, this and that. Could you understand? The Kala understands that my chosn is capable of concentrating. My chosn knows how to concentrate, to focus. He's just not focused on me. He's thinking about something else. And because of that, if you don't look at the Kala's eyes, the beautiful eyes of Shabbos, the Pnei Shabbos Nekabla, Kamaluva Kala's eyes, how humiliated is this Kala? Please understand this, that I never ever mean, God forbid, against any Jew that ever did this or does this. I only mean to understand. Kama aluva, what does the Kala feel if you walk around on Shabbos outside in a pair of shorts or in like a some kind of a vachetika, some vachetika piece of clothing? Rabbi Yosha Ber of Soloveitchik gave such a mishabech. I'm saying a ma'isa from Soloveitchik, because it's not, you shouldn't say that it's Sipsa Chassidish ma'isa. There was a Rabbi Yosha Ber in Boston, you know, every summer he gave shiurim. They would come from all over to be by Rabbi Yosha Ber in Boston. One Shabbos, it was like 100 degrees. And there was a person who was walking a long distance to hear Rabbi Yosha Ber's Shia Shabbos afternoon in Boston. And he didn't wear his jacket. What is he going to do? He didn't wear Shabbos, he didn't come with his jacket. It was 100 degrees and it was terrible. But he wanted, he was Maisa Nefesh, he walked a long distance to learn. He walked in on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yosha Ber said, "Where's your jacket?" So he said, and the guy is probably soaking wet, you know. So he said, "Rabbi, it was too hot." So Rabbi Yosha Ber said, "Then don't come to the Shia. You hear this? I'll show you inside. It was set over by a special shachter. It's a new sefer, Pnine Harav, that came out last week. Different meisim from Rabbi Yosha Ber. I'll show you inside." He said, "Then you can't go Shabbos like that. Put it over your shoulders. Do something. You're not walking Shabbos like this." And he couldn't come to the shir in the summer for a few. It was too hot. He couldn't come like that. It was too far and too hot. But that's not how you walk in on Shabbos. That's not how a Jew goes on Shabbos. Because why? Because Shabbos is Dveikus. And Dveikus means remembering. That's what the Kala wants. Just remember me. Remember me. That's why Shabbos has a million halachas. We were talking about that last week. Shabbos, you can't move this, you have to do this, you have to do that. Right? All the laws of Muktzeh, what you can do and what you can't do, what you can move and you can't move. You have to be so careful on Shabbos with every little din. There's nothing else like that in the world. Shabbos is so careful in the kitchen. It shouldn't be this, shouldn't be that. Shabbos is unbelievable. Why? Why to be so careful? Why does it make a difference every detail? And I'm going to tell you why. Because a Kala notices every detail. Other people might not. And if you're married a long time, but a Kala, by a Chasana, a Chosn and Kala care about every detail. That's why the tablecloth makes a difference. And that's why this gown and this veil, and that's why this particular look, everything makes a difference by the Chasana. And Hashem is Baruch says the Shabbos is Pnei Shabbos Nekabla. Shabbos is the Chasan that means that I want you to look at me. I want you to notice me. I want you to remember me. And therefore every single second and every detail of Shabbos says, be careful, don't be Mesiach Das. Don't take your mind off of Shabbos. You can't touch this, don't move this. Don't be careful, careful, how you doing, what you're doing. Just like the Chasan and the Kala care about every detail. And the Chasan has to be careful with what he says, especially by the Chasan and the Kala, how they speak to each other and how they look at each other. That's the inyan of Zochus Yom HaShabbos. It means remember. Remembering means there's no Hesach Hadash. I'm not going to forget you. The 6 days of the week, it's hard. But Shabbos, I'm not going to forget you. Kamaluva Kala. How embarrassed is a Kala when a Jew sits on Shabbos reading some ridiculous newspaper, a novel, sits there with a Chves, a Wall Street Journal, reading about what's doing. Or even it comes to Inyonim in the world. What? Kamaluva. The Kala. That you're looking for distractions and not to think when a Jew's not focused on learning and on davening and on sharing with the family and singing in the Avodah of Shabbos and the Simchas Shabbos. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there's a brayse of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Amr Shabbos Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos talks. Shabbos says to Hashem, now we understand Shabbos was the seventh, so everybody, there was one day, the second day of creation, as I said before, three and four, five, six. Shabbos says everybody has a mate, a ben zug. I don't have Omlek, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael, he ben zugeich. The Jewish people is your chosen. That's what Hashem said to Shabbos. That the Jewish people is the chosen, that's the chosen. Let me end with a ma'aseh. I'm not ending because we're going to continue, we have to understand more next week. The next two weeks, they're not shiurim. I have simchas, but there's going to be, so that's next, told us, v'yetzeh. Then afterwards will be v'yishlach mitzvashem. Okay, so the next 2 weeks, they're not shiurim. There were a couple of misnagdim who came to the Bnei Yisrael, and they were making fun of his clothing. They were making fun. They were maskilim, misnagdim, mechveis. They didn't like the way he dressed. And they came to the Bnei Yisrael, and they asked him, what's the makor? What is the source for that, for what you're wearing? You know, where does it say? What are you doing? This is again, like I told you last, there's only a chassidish you could hear this ma'isa, so prepare yourselves. So the Bnei Yisrael, this is how the Bnei Yisrael answered. He said that the Morav HaShemesh, the famous tzaddik from Krakow, the Morav HaShemesh, used to, when he was a student by the Noam Elimelech, he used to be mishamish the Rabbi Elimelech. He used to bring the Rabbi Elimelech his coffee, his food, and so on. So the Morav HaShemesh said this, that one morning he was bringing a glass of hot tea to the Noam Elimelech, to the Rabbi Elimelech. And he saw the Rabbi Elimelech sitting with a Jew of the most spectacular countenance that he had ever seen, the most beautiful, awe-inspiring face that he had ever seen in his life. The Rabbi Elimelech was sitting with that person. Ad kidei kach, the Morav HaShemesh says that when he saw him, the Morav HaShemesh says, he passed out. He fainted when he saw this Jew. When they brought him to, so the Noam Elimelech, by that time that Jew wasn't there anymore, and the Noam Elimelech said to him that you should know that was Avram Avinu. And then the Noam Elimelech said the following thing: Oy loy leben, vay for a kind, for skenish cooking them tapping them upon him, which means Oy loy leben, oy vay for a son who can't look in his father's face. Oy, 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 what are we going to do with a son who can't even look in his father's face? And the Morav HaShemesh said that was Avraham Avinu, and he was wearing Chassidus Malbushim. Uh-oh. I had a lot of explanations for that. That's not why I told you the Maisa. But the reason for the Maisa... The right. When it comes to the Svadim, it's an Indian of being... That's the Teretz, right? That's the Teretz. But I guess the Bnei Soska was saying that the Jews in Poland, in Galicia, so... Weifer, a kind. How terrible it is if you have a situation where there are a parent and a child, and the child can't look in his father's face. That's the yisoid. And there's a reason why he can't look in the face. The inyan of Shabbos is pnei Shabbos nekabla, is to be able to look at the Shechina einehem be'enai, in how you dress, and how you talk, and how you conduct yourself at the Shabbos table, and how you spend the day, how you act in shul, especially on Shabbos, the davening, and with the seudas and the zmiras. The Rebbeinu Shalom can tell whether you're looking in his eyes, or you're waving to somebody in the audience. And therefore he should help us that we should be among those who spend the entire day of Shabbos under the chuppah, looking in the eyes of our kala. And as the Sefer HaYecholos promise that's brought down by the Taz, that Hashem says that when you look in his eyes, he's memaher gula seinu, he quickens the redemption of the Jewish people. We should be zoichim et Hashem for the gula hashlemi v'amitis b'mehem yomenu. Amen.